Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, folks. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. I want to welcome you to our program as we cover world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the Rapture of the Church. Well, shalom to all of you. Thank you so much, folks, for tuning in to the show today. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I am coming to you live on a very wet and rainy Saturday afternoon in Westport, Massachusetts. And, of course, we are here at my daughter's house. And again, of course, you know, whenever you go on a radio show, you know, you always have some type of technical issues, as you can hear right now. And we downloaded an Avast security system here to block any threats of malware and things of that sort. Now it's like popping up like crazy, saying that, that we just averted a online threat. We're working on that right there to make sure that we can get that taken care of as well. But I'm excited to be back on the air with you. We had a little bit of a hiatus there for a few weeks, but we are now back on the air. And as you well know, if you listened to last week's program, Patty and I came back from Israel. The two of us were there for about 14 days and had a wonderful time. No tour groups with us, just my wife and I. Got a car rental and just drove around the country, went to visit some biblical sites that most, you know, Christian groups don't go to. And I had an opportunity to teach Bible prophecy on location at these very sites. Now, if you want to see these videos of our Israel tour and my Bible teaching on some of the sites that we visited, you can go to my YouTube channel. It's simply August Rosado. You can go there and watch the YouTube videos that we have uploaded. And you can also go to my Facebook page. We've uploaded those as well. So you can find me on the social networks. You can find me on Facebook as August Rosado. You can send me a friend request, and we'll accept that. And you can follow us on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's simply Bible_prophecy, or August Rosado, or Bible_prophecy. And I list all of the daily news articles on Twitter that I believe are significant and, are playing a role in Bible prophecy. And you can also follow me on LinkedIn as simply Evangelist August Rosado. And you can follow me on all of those three social networks. And again, go to YouTube, just simply August Rosado, and you can watch all of the YouTube videos of my Bible teaching there in the Holy Land, there in the land of Israel, as well as the video for this radio show. And you can watch the radio show. You can listen to it as we come to you every Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit my website at todayinbibleprophecy.org. We are beginning to sell some Holy Land gifts there in on the website, and we've brought a lot of stuff back, Jerusalem baseball caps, many things, wooden olive camels from Bethlehem, wooden olive donkeys from Bethlehem, Jerusalem handbags for women, just a lot of stuff, little mini City of David cups that are very attractive. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. And I know that that will be a blessing to you to bring a piece of the Holy Land back home to you. And by purchasing these items, you also help and support our ministry. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletters. Every week they go out, every Friday. Again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. And then you'll see the email sign-up box. Type in your email address. And you'll start receiving these emails every single week. I write brief articles on prophecy. You can see my speaking schedule, where I'm going to be at next. And of course, just follow along with us and ministry happenings and events that are going on in the ministry. And speaking of speaking schedules, tomorrow, April the 3rd, I am going to be preaching at Lifeline Baptist Church in Haverhill, Massachusetts. That's Lifeline Baptist Church in Haverhill, Massachusetts. I will be there for Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11, and 6 p.m. evening service. Chris DiGiacomo, I always try to pronounce the last name. I'm sorry about that, Brother Chris, but Brother Chris DiGiacomo. I got it. Chris DiGiacomo, he is the pastor of that church, and we were with them a couple of years ago. We're looking forward to being with them again tomorrow. So listen, if you live anywhere in the Haverhill area or any of the surrounding areas, or if you're near the New Hampshire border, hey, if you don't have a place to go to on Sunday morning, come and visit us at Lifeline Baptist Church in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Their website, lifelinebaptistchurch.com. lifelinebaptistchurch.com. I would love to meet you. And then, of course, finally, folks, we have a fall Bible prophecy tour to Israel coming up. Our fall Bible prophecy tour is scheduled for September 3rd through the 14th of this year, 2016. It will be Israel and one day in Petra in southern Jordan. I will be teaching Bible prophecy on all locations. We're looking to take between 15 and 20 people with us. We want to make it small. We want to make it personal. And we want to encourage you to come with us to the land of Israel. 11 days in the land of the Bible. And, of course, folks, with the tour price, it's all inclusive. Your round-trip airfare, your dinner, your breakfast, it's all buffet, hotels, transportation, all of that good stuff is included there in the tour price. If you want more information or if you would like to talk with me personally, send me an email. My email address is august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. That's august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. And so if you want, you can leave me your phone number, and I can call you back and answer any questions that you would have about the tour. Or if you are ready to go, then call our tour operator, Israel Trips LLC, as in cat. Israel for my friend, Eyal Evan. His name is spelled E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-D-A-N. Eyal Evan, let him know that you want to join August Rosado on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, September 3rd through the 14th. And, folks, it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. I've been to Israel 14 times, and every time I go, folks, it always feels like it's my first time going. I mean, I'm like a little kid in a candy store in Israel. So can you imagine someone for the very first time stepping forth in the Holy Land, in the land of the Bible? And I'll tell you one thing, folks, after 11 days in the land of Israel, you will never read your Bible the same way again. So we encourage you to join us there in the land of Israel. What I want to do right now is I want to talk about the news story of the day. But before I do that, I want to read a prophecy out of the book of Zechariah, chapter number 12, and verse number 6. It's an amazing prophecy out of Zechariah, chapter 12, in verse number 6, concerning the Israeli military. And in Zechariah, chapter 12, and verse number 6, it tells us this. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a perf of fire among the woods and like a torch of fire in a sheet. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. So, folks, that is an amazing prophecy right there. If I had to preach this message, I would entitle it The Fire Among the Wood, the prophecy of the Israeli military. Now, folks, Israel is the focus of end-time Bible prophecy. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Israel is the main prophetic piece of end-time Bible prophecy. We are talking about a country no bigger than the state of New Jersey, in which Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 8, and Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5 tells us is in the very center of the earth. Israel is in the very center of the earth. She is also the very center of politics. She is the very center of controversy. The reestablishment of Israel, May 14, 1948, is of extreme importance, because when Israel was reborn as a nation, as foretold by the Jewish prophets, God's prophetic time clock began to tick away. The rebirth of Israel, I believe, is signaling that the end times are indeed upon us. Now, you know, we are living in the last days. I make a distinction between the last days and the end times. We have been in the last days for nearly 2,000 years. The birth of the Lord Jesus in a small little Jewish town called Bethlehem of Judea, his birth initiated the last days. We have been in the last days ever since. You say, well, what's the big deal if we've been in the last days for the past 2,000 years? The big deal is, folks, is that it's intensifying. It's not getting any better, only getting worse. 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And folks, all you have to do is take a look outside, watch the news, read the papers. You can see it's not getting any better. It's only getting worse. So we have been in the last days of the church age since the time of Pentecost for 2,000 years, or rather since the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way to the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. Up until now, we have been in the last days for 2,000 years. But when the next prophetic event we call the rapture of the church takes place, the Lord Jesus shouts, the archangel shouts, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We who are alive and remain caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When the rapture takes place, then those last days will turn into the end times. So with the rebirth of the state of Israel, May the 14th of 1948 is signaling that the end times are indeed upon us. In the 20th century, we saw major prophecies concerning the nation of Israel coming to pass. Now, remember, folks, in the 20th century, we saw major prophecies come to pass. For example, again, the regathering of the Jews from the four corners of the earth back into the land of Israel. That's Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. God said, I will show a banner, a sign, if you will, to the whole entire world that I am about to bring my people from the four corners of the earth where they have been scattered to, and will bring them back into the land of Israel. You know, Deuteronomy 28 foretold the Jews being scattered to the four corners of the earth. That happened with the Roman destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Jews were scattered to the four corners of the earth. they wandered from nation to nation, being persecuted and being killed along the way, until finally God said, I will bring the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth. I will bring them back into their own homeland. And Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 12 tells us that. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 and 8, God tells Isaiah, shall a nation be born in one day? Folks, that was May 14, 1948. I'm no date setter, especially when it comes to the rapture, amen? But I will give you that date, May the 14th, 1948, the rebirth of the state of Israel. And by the way, that was the reestablishment of the state of Israel, the dry bones vision of Ezekiel chapter number 37. God told Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. And God said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That's Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 11. So, you know, the graves would be the Gentile nations of the world that the Jews were scattered to. The bones would be the Jews themselves. And all of a sudden, you know, Ezekiel hears, you know, this rattling and this shaking and bone and joints coming together. And then, of course, God puts the sinews upon them, the muscle, the tissues, the flesh upon them. And then he breathes into them, and they become an exceeding great army, a great nation. That was the rebirth of the state of Israel. That's what the dry bones is all about in Ezekiel 37. And then, of course, there would be the reclamation of the land of Israel based on Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 34 and 35. In other words, the land would respond when the Jews are coming back into the land. Prior to the Jews coming back into their own homeland, the land itself was absolutely barren for 400 years when it was under the occupation of the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire. The land was barren, and the land was desolate. I mean, when Mark Twain visited the land, he said, man, I thought this was the land of milk and honey in the Bible. Of course, you know, he was an atheist. He said, but wow, I thought this was the land of milk and honey. He says, look at the sheep and the goats. They're eating gravel for vegetation. There's nothing green here. And that was the case for 400 years until the Jews began to come back into the land. And yet Ezekiel 36, verses 34 and 35, and Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 1 tells us that when the Jews would come back, the land itself would respond to her original inhabitants. And you look at Israel today, folks, it is indeed a land of milk and honey, a land of vegetation. It's absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, we saw the revival of the Hebrew language, or what they would say, Ivrit in Hebrew, the revival of the Hebrew language. And God used one man who single-handedly revived the Hebrew language, a man by the name of Eliezer ben Yehuda. He revived the Hebrew language. You know, the rabbis didn't want to see Hebrew as the official language of the state of Israel. They wanted to see it as a language of the synagogue, but not the everyday language on the street. You know, the rabbis wanted Yiddish to be the official language of the state of Israel, leave the holy language, the holy tongue, you know, for the synagogue services, the worship services in the synagogue. And yeah, Eliezer ben Yehuda looked at these rabbis and said, don't you understand what the scriptures say? Have you not read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, that God said that one day I will restore language? Why is Hebrew called the pure language? I'll tell you why, folks. Because you cannot find one single solitary cuss word in the Hebrew language. You can find cuss words in the English language. You can find cuss words in the Arabic language or cuss words in any other Gentile language out there. But there are no cuss words in the Hebrew language. That's why God told Zephaniah in chapter 3, verse 9, that it is a pure language. And God used one man, Eliezer ben Yehuda, to revive the Hebrew language. So we saw the revival of the Hebrew language in the 20th century. And then, of course, the reoccupation of the city of Jerusalem by the Jews. That's Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. After 1,987 years of being out of the land, the Jews are not only back in their land, But then in 1967, during the Six-Day War, when Jerusalem was under the occupation of the Jordanians, Israel finally got their holy city back when they won that Six-Day War and they took Jerusalem back. You know, Jesus said in Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's 70 A.D. But then now we catapult to a future prophecy. And Jesus said, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. That was the Jordanian occupation until the times of the Gentiles should be fulfilled. That's a partial fulfillment because now Jerusalem is back in the hands of the Israelis, but yet we still see Gentile influence over the city of Jerusalem. That will come to an end at the second coming of Jesus at the end of that 70th period of tribulation. So again, another 20th century prophecy fulfilled, the reoccupation of the city of Jerusalem. And then, of course, the resurgence of the Israeli military. Again, folks, that's Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 6. The Jews will be back in the land, and they will form a very mighty military army. Again, verse 6. In that day I will make the governors of Judah, of course that will be the Jewish people, like a curse, a fire among the wood. Israel will be the fire. Their enemies will be the wood. And like a torch of fire in a sheet. And they shall devour all the people round about them. You know, Israel is surrounded by 22 Arab dictatorships that do not recognize her right to exist. And he says, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. So we see the resurgence of the Israeli military, and I'm going to show you how Zechariah's prophecy was indeed fulfilled. And then, of course, there is the refocusing of world politics on Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Again, here you have Israel, no bigger than the state of New Jersey. Here you have the city of Jerusalem, which is roughly 8.5 square miles, 2,700 feet above sea level, the sea level of the Mediterranean Sea, and yet every single day, Jerusalem and Israel is the focus of world politics. If something is happening in the Middle East, reported from Jerusalem. If something is happening in Syria, reported from Jerusalem. If something is happening in Iran, reported from Jerusalem. If something is happening in any Middle East country, reported from Jerusalem. So it's the refocusing of world politics, of course, of the state of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Now, for the political scenario, now Israel, and I just got this from a news story, Israel was ranked by the international defense site called Global Firepower. They rank nations based on their military might. And Global Firepower ranked the Israeli military 11th most powerful military on earth. That's pretty significant, folks. If the Global Firepower ranked Israel and their military 11th on the world stage, 11th most powerful military on earth. Now, of course, obviously, America was ranked number one as the world's number one superpower in terms of military and, of course, wealth for that matter. Of course, Russia came in at number two, and China came in at number three. Now, India and the United Kingdom, Britain, rounded it off, coming in at number five. But, folks, that's a pretty big deal. With Israel ranked at number 11, it makes her the mini superpower of the Middle East. And this is the reason why I say this. Because here you have Egypt, the largest Arab country in the Middle East with roughly about 85 million Arabs. Their military came in at number 18. Iran, Israel's deadliest enemy, always calling for Israel to be wiped off the face of the map. Iran came in at number 23. Their military was ranked at number 23. War-torn Syria came in at number 42. They ranked in 42 and Jordan, their military was ranked at a very, very high 65. So, again, with Israel being ranked by the global firepower as number 11 makes her the mini superpower of the Middle East. And, of course, the prophecy of Israel's military was foretold in Zechariah chapter 12 in verse number 6. Because, folks, listen, with the Jews back in the land, Zechariah says that they will be like the hearth, like like a hot oven, like a fire pan in the wood pile, and their enemies would be the wood. And you know something? The Arab world found this out the hard way during Israel's four major wars. Now you think about this, folks. Israel won all four of their major wars against the Arab world, against the Arab military might. The War of Independence of 1948, Israel with barely a military, with barely an army, defeated five, the War of Independence, 1948. Then in 1956, the Suez Canal War, Israel was attacked by four Arab nations. Israel won that war. Four nations going up against one nation. Israel won that war. The 1967 Six-Day War, Israel was attacked by three Arab armies. Israel defeated those Arab armies. The 1973 Yom Kippur War, where Israel was attacked on the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement. And yet, against all odds, Israel defeated those three Arab nations. Israel won all four of those major wars because of Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 12:6 that Israel would be the hearth, the fire pan, and their enemies would be the wood. And again, folks, the Arab world found that out the hard way. So we just looked at the political scenario. Now, folks, let's look at the eschatology. The eschatology. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Will Israel trust their security to someone else in the future? Will they lay down their arms and trust someone else to protect them? Does the Bible seem to imply this, or does the Bible actually teach this? Now, we know based on the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 27, it tells us that a world dictator will confirm a seven-year peace covenant with the Jewish people. Again, that's out of Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 27. It's talking about the Antichrist. Notice the personal pronoun, and he, that would be the beast, that would be the Antichrist. He goes by 27 different names in the Bible, called the little horn, Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. He is called, you know, the worthless shepherd, Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 17. He's called the beast, Daniel chapter 7, verse 11, Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 1. He is called the coming prince, Daniel 9, 26. He's called the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Folks, he goes by 27 different names in the Bible. And when he comes on the scene, sometime shortly after the rapture of the church, he will confirm a seven-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. Doesn't say he signs, but we hear that a lot from prophecy teachers. He's going to one day sign a covenant. That's all the Bible teaches. Daniel 9:27 says he will confirm. That is the Hebrew word gebar. Gebar. Gebar means to strengthen, to solidify, if you will. In other words, Israel has signed three major peace treaties, and not one of them is working. You know, we think about these peace treaties. We think about the Israel-Egyptian peace treaty of 1979, you know, between the late President Anwar Sadat of Egypt and the late Prime Minister Menachem Begin of Israel. Even though Egypt has a peace treaty with Israel, it's a very cold peace treaty. It's never been normalized. And so really, in all actuality, folks, it's simply not working. And then we think of the Oslo Accords of 1993 between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. That's dead in the water. That's going nowhere. It's not working. It's never been normalized. And then we think about the Israeli-Jordanian peace treaty of 1990 between King Hussein of Jordan and the late Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Again, only two Arab countries have a peace treaty with Israel. That would be Egypt and Jordan. Howbeit, they've never been normalized. It's a very, very cold peace treaty. As a matter of fact, we have those within Egyptian parliament and those within Jordanian parliament that are asking their government to break the peace treaty with Israel. So you have three treaties on the table. They're simply not working. Somebody has to come on the scene. Somebody has to take a worthless piece of paper and confirm it, strengthen it, give it teeth, solidify it. He will actually make it work. And when he does that, then he'll look at the Jews and say, I will guarantee you 7 years of peace and security. Go and rebuild your third Jewish temple. Go back to animal sacrifices. I have your back. And then, folks, when that happens, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 38 in verse number 8 that the Jews will dwell in their land because of this peace treaty. Ezekiel chapter 38 in verse number 11 tells us that the Jews will dwell in unwalled villages. That's not the case right now. Israel is right now dwelling in walled villages, not unwalled, because of the security situation right now, because of the attacks from Hamas in the Gaza Strip, attacks from Hezbollah in southern Jordan in the north, the threat from Iran coming from the east, the threat from ISIS and Islamic Jihad, Al-Aqsa Brigades, all of these terrorist organizations, they want to wipe the Jews off the face of the map. Israel is surrounded by 22 Arab dictatorships, and what they want to do is that they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map. And so Israel is right now dwelling in walled villages. I mean, you come to Israel with us, I'll take you to Bethlehem, you will see that there's a wall there. It's a long, long, long wall to keep terrorists from out of, Bethlehem and other areas into Jerusalem. So right now they are dwelling in walled villages. But when the Antichrist confirms that 7-year peace treaty with the Jewish people in Daniel 9:27, those walls are coming down. So Ezekiel 38:11 says that at that time they will dwell in unwalled villages. Ezekiel 38:8 says they will dwell safely in the land, all of them. And for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the Jews have their temple up and running. You come to Israel with me in September, I will take you to the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, where they are right now making preparations for the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple. They have all the furniture. They have a high priest. They have the Sanhedrin. They're right now training young Jewish men to be Levites. They're right now breeding biblical red heifers. Folks, they got everything ready to go. Only one stumbling block. They have to have a peace treaty, a confirmation peace treaty in place, and that Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount has to go. So at that point, when the Jews let their guard down, then the enemies of Israel will attack. That will be Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, a Russian-led Arab coalition of nations to attack the Jewish state of Israel. Then in Psalm 83, we have another Arab attack coming against the Jewish state of Israel. And then Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, tells us how this attack will take place, how it will happen. So once these Arab nations have been subdued, and they have been destroyed, at the midway point of the tribulation, the Antichrist will break that peace treaty with the Jewish people. That will be in the middle of the tribulation period. At the midway point of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will break that peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And then that will begin the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's called Tyler Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Jesus in Matthew 24, 21 tells us, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be." The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will persecute every single Jew, based on Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, two-thirds of the Jewish people will lose their lives. Another one-third will survive and be sheltered by God in Petra. And that, of course, is in southern Jordan today. That will be one of our stops on this Bible prophecy tour in September. I'll teach Bible prophecy right on that location. At the end of the seven-year period of tribulation, the Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah of Israel, will come back at his second coming, and he will destroy the forces of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before them, in which they had deceived the world that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire and brimstone." So we know the very first two to inhabit the lake of fire will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years during the duration of the millennial kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus, spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. At the end of the millennial kingdom, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is loose out of that bottomless pit to try to overthrow the kingdom of Jesus one final time. And then, of course, he will be destroyed and all of his followers. And then Satan will join his buddies, the Antichrist and the false prophet, in the lake of fire. God will meet these nations head on and will judge them in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Folks, that is in Jerusalem. We were just there in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I was teaching at the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. Right below me was the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Don't confuse the Valley of Jehoshaphat with the Jezreel Valley in the north of Israel. The Jezreel Valley, that's Armageddon, Revelation 16:16. That's where all the nations of the world will gather, right there in the Jezreel Valley in Armageddon, march southward to the city of Jerusalem, where Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 tells us, God says, "I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, a cup of intoxication, and I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. I will make Jerusalem such a dead weight that no one will be able to take Jerusalem away from the Jews. They won't be able to lift Jerusalem up and take her away." Zechariah 14:2, God says, "I'll gather all nations to Jerusalem for battle." Joel chapter 3, verse 2, God says, "I'll gather all the nations in the valley of Jehoshaphat." That's the Kidron Valley, mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse number 1. The Kidron Valley separates Jerusalem on the west from the Mount of Olives to the east. God says, "I will gather those nations there in the Kidron Valley. I will judge them right there in the Kidron Valley." Joel talks about this Jehoshaphat Valley in Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And then verses 13 through 15, he says in verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And then, of course, Revelation 19, 11 through 16, that's the second coming of Jesus back to this earth. John said, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." Please don't confuse that white horse in Revelation 19, 11 with the white horse of Revelation 6, 2. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 6:2 is the false Messiah, the false Savior, if you will, for lack of a better term. That's the Antichrist coming into the world. But the true Messiah is riding on the white horse in Revelation 19:11. He said, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture in blood, and his name was called the Word of God." Verse 14 is our cue, the church's cue, "and the armies which were in heaven followed him, upon white horses, clothing fine linen, white and clean. That's the rapture church. The church that was raptured 7 years earlier, coming back with him 7 years later. Verse 15 says, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16 says, upon his vesture and upon his thigh was a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At his second coming, Jesus will reign on this earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, folks, in conclusion, the rapture of the church is the next main event on God's prophetic time clock. We know that after nearly 2,000 years, or technically 1,897 years, the Jewish people are back in the land. Israel has been reborn as a nation. May the 14th of 1948, Zechariah 12:6 tells us that they will have one of the most powerful military armies in the world. Again, they were ranked number 11 as the most powerful military might in the world. That makes them the mini superpower of the Middle East. But the Bible tells us that in the future, Israel will give over their security to a future world dictator, 7-year peace treaty with them. And that will be the Antichrist. And I believe, folks, this man is alive and well on planet Earth today. So this news story about Israel being ranked number 11 as having one of the world's mightiest militaries is indeed showing you and I that the stage is set, the actors are in place, and the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. The next prophetic event will be the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. Again, Jesus shouts. He descends from heaven. He shouts. The archangel shouts. The trumpet sounds. That shofar. The dead in Christ rise for us. Then we which are alive and remain, caught up together with him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And folks, we shall forever be with the Lord. What a day, glorious day, that is going to be. As I bring this broadcast to a close, don't forget, visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. Just type your email into the email box on our website. View our online catalog of Holy Land gifts. And, of course, my new book, The Kingdom, Now or Future. And I deal with the concept that's going on in the church today that we are living in the kingdom right now, that Jesus is on the throne of David, reigning over the nations of the world. Nothing can be further from the truth. And I show in the Word of God that we are not in the kingdom right now, but the kingdom is yet to come. So go to my website, order the book, The Kingdom, Now or Future. Order some of our Holy Land gifts, and I hope that you would take advantage of that. Also, if you want to join me in Israel, September 3rd through the 14th, with one day Petra, then again, send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Give me your phone number. I'll call you back with any questions that you would have. Or, if you're ready to go with us, call my toll operator, Israel Trips, LLC. Ask for Eyal Evan. Eyal Evan, their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Let Eyal know that you want to join me, August Rosado, in Israel for the Bible Prophecy Tour of the Holy Land, September 3rd through the 14th, 2016. And don't forget, tomorrow, April 3rd, I will be preaching at Lifeline Baptist Church in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Well, folks, until next week. This is Andrew Augustinato. This is David Bible Prophecy. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming to you.